Welcome to the Erie First Podcast, the weekly message series featuring Pastor Nicole Schreiber. Today we're beginning a new series called I'm In. This series is all about who the church is. It's important that we remember that the church is not a building, it's a community of people. So what does it mean for us to be the church? Pastor Nicole is going to dive in and examine many of our fears and faulty thinking that prevent us from fully engaging as the church of Jesus. She's going to take a strong look at our feelings of inadequacy, our perceived lack of influence, and an often misplaced sense of independence that gets in the way of both God's plans for us as people and for the church as a whole. We believe this will be a powerful and challenging series for all of us, and we're excited to share it with you. So let's get started with our new series, I'm In, and let's see how God sees us as invaluable, not inadequate. Here's Pastor Nicole.
Well, I'm excited to start a new series today, and I've titled it, I'm In. This series will carry us through the end of September, and it's all about who our church is. It's about the purpose of Erie First and the church at large and the people within it, and that's why also giving those honors out was so appropriate for today. But this series is straight from the scripture. I think it will both encourage and challenge you. But first, it's back to school time. Anyone or their children start school in the last 2 weeks? Hands up. All right, good. So I thought we'd start with a pop quiz. You guys ready for a pop quiz? Okay, so did you know that animals have names, obviously individually, but they also have names when they gather together in groups or families, and they are actually different names for groups of animals. Okay, so let me give you an example. I'll give you one example, and then we'll go to the quiz. Okay, so what is this? Okay, great. So this is an elephant, but when an elephants are together in a group, you can go to the next picture, they're called something different. What is a group of elephants called? It's actually a parade. A parade of elephants. And maybe also a pachyderm, I don't know, but this is what Google told me. So a parade of elephants. So one elephant is an elephant. Many elephants is a parade. Okay, see how the game works? All right, let's go to the next one. What's this? A lion? What is a group of lions? You can tell the person next to you. Oh, wow, I got a smart church. All right, a pride of lions. So one lion is called a lion. A group of lions is a pride of lions. All right, what is this? Cheetah? What is a group of cheetahs? Someone just said Cheetos, I think, over here. Okay, what is a group of cheetahs is actually called, go ahead, a coalition. Ooh, isn't that cool? So if you saw a group of cheetahs, you couldn't say there's a bunch of cheetahs. I mean, I guess you could technically, but also this is a coalition. All right, let's do a couple more. This is a dolphin. What is a group of dolphins? A pod of dolphins. Yeah, so good. Okay, there's two more. This is the next one. What is this? A jellyfish. What is a group of jellyfish? Go ahead and show the picture. It's actually called a smack. Isn't that funny? A smack of jellyfish. All right, here's the last one. It's my favorite. This is what? A porcupine. A group of these are called a, go ahead, a prickle. Come on, that's the best. Oh, look, a prickle of porcupines. Someone is awesome. Okay, so here's my point. Each animal has one name, but when it comes into a family or a group, the animal takes on a new name or a new identity. All right, so track with me here. It becomes something more than it is all on its own. And this is how the body of Christ works too. Alone, you are a Christian. Together, we're the church. You can't be the church on your own. You can't be the church all alone, but together, we are the body of Christ. Together, as a family, we take on a new identity with new purpose and new hope and new possibilities. But in order for that to happen, we have to be together. And this means that every single person in the family of God is invaluable. No one is inadequate. So see how I played on words there with the series I'm in? I'm invaluable. You are not inadequate. You are invaluable. Every person in this church today and every person who will come someday is invaluable. Now, invaluable is a funny word in the English language. It does not mean not valued. I think sometimes that word is strange. It actually means you are uniquely valuable and a child of God. You are valuable just because of who you are. You are valuable and uniquely prepared to be part of this family. You are not inadequate. You know, when God made you and set your life in the timeline of history, He knew that this would be exactly the right time for you to live. That you would contribute the most to the work of God if you lived in this time, if you lived in this city, and if you worshiped here at Erie First Church. That's why you're here. Because God knew that this would be the place and the space that you could give the most to the kingdom of God. You're an invaluable part of the family. Jesus told this parable about how invaluable you are to his family, and it comes from Matthew 18. It says this: what do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, truly I tell you, he is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. When I read this, I thought to myself, how does the shepherd even know one is missing? If you have 100 sheep that all look the same, how does he know one has wandered off? Well, he takes count of his sheep. He just doesn't call them by numbers. He knows their name. Every sheep is important. He is committed to every last one of them. He takes action to find the sheep. One is not more important than another, so he wants to find that one. And I love how the good shepherd, he knows what patch of grass that the sheep tends to wander to. He knows what hill the sheep usually get stuck on. Like, he has an idea where his sheep may run and hide, because the good shepherd knows his sheep. He knows where they trip and fall. He knows the things that are difficult for them. And this parable reminds us the chief shepherd knows who you are. He knows where you are. He knows what you need. He knows how to protect you. He knows how to bring you home. And he knows how to keep you home. Jesus would leave the 99 to find you, because you are invaluable. You are not inadequate. You know, there are some lies that I think we often believe about ourselves when it comes to being part of a church family. And I want you to honestly evaluate if you've ever thought of any of these things. And I want you to know, as honestly as I can share this morning, I know these are lies we tell ourselves, because I've told myself these at times of my life. Or I've talked to people that have told me this is how they feel. And so this isn't just a stab in the dark. These are things that I know to be true about us. We wrongly believe if I weren't here or I didn't come, then it wouldn't matter that much. Like, it doesn't make a difference if I make it to church or not. No one would even miss me. We wrongly believe that I'm not skilled or talented enough to contribute to God's work. I can't do the same things as other people around me. So what I have to offer is inadequate. I don't fit in a certain place. I don't do the same thing as everybody else. I must not be important, or I must not have what these people need. I'm inadequate. We often wrongly believe that we can do Christianity on our own. That we can just listen to the podcast, or we can just watch the service online, or pray before we go to bed, and that can be enough. But I want you to know, you can be a Christian by doing those things. I'm not saying you can't be a Christian. You can be a Christian by doing those things, but you can't be the church. Because the church means we're together, you see. In the Bible, a man named Paul planted a church in a city called Corinth. And 1 Corinthians is a letter to that group of believers. And the majority of them were socially humble. Some were even still in slavery. And they probably felt very insecure, like they didn't have much to give. And Paul is writing to them and he's explaining how the church is designed to work. And I want you to see this because in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is speaking a timeless truth, a truth that mattered then and a truth that matters now, okay? And he uses the metaphor of a human body, probably because everybody has a human body. And so he says, listen, nobody, like, you can't miss this metaphor. We all have it. All right, so let's read it together. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 14. It says, just as a body, though one has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Every member is invaluable. Every single part. I love verse 13. It tells us that there is no class system in the body of Christ. We are all baptized by one Spirit to form one body. And Paul gives this example. He talks about the Jews and the Gentiles. And in that time, there was an enormous gulf. There was an enormous gulf that spanned between these two groups of people. Jewish people were given all the covenants and the promises of God. They were blessed and favored and honored. They were very much seen as the people that were known by God and favored by God, like God's favorites, if you will. Okay, that's what they were seen as. And the Gentiles were from pagan nations. They only knew idolatry. They had no clue about God and his faithfulness. They lived wildly and recklessly. They had pasts and difficulties and histories of making bad choices. And Paul is saying, listen, maybe to the outside, these people are very different. But let me tell you, here in the body of Christ, here in the body of Christ, the span between the Jews and the Gentiles, between the slave and the free, is always, it levels the playing field. There is no span. The cross solves the sin problem for both Jew and Gentile. The same cross solves the sin problem for all of humanity, Jew, Gentile, slave, and free. No matter how much you know, no matter how much you don't know, the way to Jesus is the same, and it's the cross. And so we don't get to decide who's good at this and who's bad at this and who's a good Christian, who's a bad Christian, who deserves to be here and who deserves to be there. Paul says, listen, it doesn't actually matter at all. What I'm communicating to you is the same cross, the same Jesus is the solution for all of us. And so Jesus was always communicating that he believed and saw every human soul as equal. Listen, as people, as Americans, we don't like that. We don't. We want to be important. We want to be more important. We want to make sure that that our face is known or our agenda is known. We want to have that. But Jesus was always surrounded by the poor and the marginalized. Do you know why? Because he was nice, but also because his message was nothing else gives a person value but the Creator. That's it. And those people, yeah, give God thanks for that. Jesus disrupted this system by which people think they get redemption, but it's false. People think they get redemption by being the most important or being good enough or having something to give, and they think then I'm valuable. But Jesus says, listen, I'm changing that narrative, and I'm insisting that you understand that you are valuable because and only because you have a Father who loves you. And the poor and the marginalized and the broken and the hurting were like, wait a minute, me? Like, I have value? And Jesus is saying, yeah, the Pharisees and the kings, they didn't have to come to Jesus for value because they thought they already had it. They misunderstood. They didn't. But the value only came from a Father who loved them. You know, I think like every once in a while on earth, we get a flash of what it would be like to spend time with Jesus. We experience maybe a moment where it feels like someone can really communicate to us that we have worth no matter who we are. And in those moments, we feel like we can do anything, right? Because we're just fully sure that God loves us and we can do those things. I was reading about Toni Morrison. She's a Nobel Peace Prize winner novelist, extremely educated from Cornell University. And I was reading an interview, and someone asked her what method she practiced to be a good writer. Like, how did she become this incredible writer that was winning all these awards and doing all of these things? And she said this: oh, no, practicing is not why I'm a good writer. I'm a great writer because when I was a little girl, every time I walked into a room where my father was sitting, his eyes would light up. That's why I'm a great writer. There isn't any other reason. And it just hit me that understanding the approval and the value of her father changed everything for Toni Morrison. It allowed her to be everything God had put inside of her and inspired her to use the gifts that God had given her. Because when we understand the love of our Father, we can understand where our value truly comes from, and we can stop trying to tirelessly earn it or prove it, because we can live in this confidence that we are valuable because God loves us, period. All right, so 1 Corinthians 12:14, even so the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Here's something else I want to get out of this, this scripture that I think is really important. This communicates there's not just one, there's many. And so we're all different. We think different. We make choices different. We come from various backgrounds and diverse experiences. In fact, this might seem strange, but diversity is essential for unity. Did you know that? Diversity is essential for unity because looking alike does not create unity. That creates a cult, okay? That's weird, right? Everyone that wears a tie and a blazer, that doesn't mean we're unified. The body is not one member that needs to look alike, it's many. Listen, we're not supposed to be the same. If you're looking for a church family who is exactly the same as you, that is not the intention of the body of Christ. That's not even a biblical church family. Instead of being offended that someone doesn't think like you, or vote like you, or express worship like you, we need to celebrate that we are one body with many parts. We're one body with many parts. And we can't all be the same. Listen, the church won't work if we're all the same. Our goal is to ensure that together, Christ is manifested and revealed to the world. That's the goal of the church. Now, you literally cannot do this on your own. You literally can't. We have to do it together. We can't be one elephant. We have to be a parade of elephants. We can't be one cheetah. We have to be a coalition of cheetahs. Come on. We can't be one porcupine. We got to be a what? A prickle of porcupines. Because the body is made up of one, not one part, but many. All right, let's keep reading in 1 Corinthians 12. And now each time we read and it says the body, I want you to imagine the church, okay, the body of Christ. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Every part matters. You matter. You are invaluable to this church. You are not inadequate. Your role matters. Your opinion is important. Your contribution makes a difference. You matter in the family of God. You matter at Erie First. The passage also addresses how we should treat each other in the body. The ear can't say, because you're an eye, you're less valuable. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. We can't say to anyone or any gift that we don't need you. We can't say that. We're not allowed to say that. Now, I think one of the voices that's really hard to acknowledge inside of us, of all of us, is a critical spirit. You know, we do our best to justify a critical spirit. We call it like, I'm just telling it how I see it. I'm just calling a spade a spade. It's just my reflection. It's my opinion. Like, I just think this. But I want to tell you today, church, that there is something very damaging to the body of Christ about a critical spirit. Very damaging. Because over time, when left unchecked and unchanged, it prevents you from seeing and appreciating the good in people and the gifts in people. The critical spirit robs you of seeing the contribution that each person has to the body. And what happens is when we feel inadequate, our hearts begin to tell us, because I'm not like that, that's wrong. Because I can't worship like that, or I don't have that gift, then I must be less than them. Therefore, I'm going to be critical about that. Sometimes we don't even unwrap that in our head at times. But a critical spirit colors brothers and sisters in Christ incorrectly. It blocks a clear view of what's really happening. And the truth is, you don't have to worship like that. You don't have to have that gift. You're still adequate. You are invaluable to the kingdom of God, just as you are. Just as you are. You don't have to be like anybody else. Because if we were all the same, we wouldn't be the church. So we can have diversity, and we can also have unity. I want to be really clear today. There is no room in the body of Christ and the kingdom of God for a critical spirit of each other. That's what the scripture says. There's no room for it. There's no room at Erie First Assembly for a critical spirit. It's got to stop if we want to be the body that God intended us to be. And my prayer is that the Lord would show us. It pinches a little. It shivers a little, but the Lord would show us and we could repent of it, and God would then again give us this ability to see the good in people and the gifts in people. And as we do that, that he would build our church even stronger. Okay, let's look at one more verse from this passage of scripture before I close today. 1 Corinthians 12:26. It says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Okay, we just honored some people this morning. One part of our body was honored. We all rejoiced with it. I had this the other day. One of my little girls came up to me and she was like, ow, ow, ow. And I'm like, what? What's wrong? And she's like, my hand. I don't know what's wrong with it. You know, so I'm concerned. And I'm like, I don't see any problems. And I realized her arm had fallen asleep. Has that ever happened to you? Your arm, like, you sit on the couch weird, or like your foot is underneath your leg and it falls asleep. And when the blood rushes back in, it's a terrible feeling, isn't it? It's like pins and needles. You can't get it to shake it off. And the Lord spoke to me in that moment. God tells me things at funny times. When your arm is asleep like that, it's paralyzed. It's useless. It's dormant. She couldn't do anything with it. You can't use it like you're supposed to use it. That part of your body is not functioning correctly. And if one part of the body isn't working or is asleep, then the whole body suffers. If you're not using the gifts God gave you, if you're not investing and contributing into the body of Christ, the whole body suffers. You have something the body of Christ needs, and if you're not giving it or using it, or if you're letting it be asleep or dormant, then other parts of the body have to work harder. And when men and women let their part of the body fall asleep, something God wants done doesn't get done. Someone God wants to reach doesn't get reached. Someone that God wants to help doesn't get the help yet. Do you see? If your contribution to the body has fallen asleep, I want to give you a message today from Ephesians 5:14. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up, sleeper. Rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Don't fall asleep on your part, because you are invaluable. We need you. We're not a prickle without you, okay? We're not a coalition without you. We need you. The church needs you. And I just want to tell you today, if you've stopped serving, you need to start again. If you need to serve in a different area, we got them. Check these red team cards and you got on your way in. They're in your book right here. And mark it and we'll call you. It's as easy as that. If you've never served on a team and you've been coming to church here for a while, listen, you need to find a place to give back to the body of Christ. That's it. That's my message for today. You need to, because we are not the church without you. If you're not in a group, I want you to find one. You got a booklet on your way with all the available groups in the fall. If you don't think you need a group, I want to tell you something. Maybe you don't, but somebody needs you. Somebody needs your wisdom. Somebody needs your compassion. Somebody needs your investment. Maybe it's time to join a group, not for you, but so that you can serve and love others in a place that they need you. Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, because what the scripture says is Christ will shine on you. Can you imagine what could happen if every Christian saw their role as significant and valuable? Could you imagine what would be possible if everyone stepped up? I want to tell you what's been possible when some people stepped up. We have 30 groups that will meet this fall studying God's word together. If everyone engaged, we could have a group studying God's word in every zip code in Erie County. Erie First sends monthly support to 52 missionaries locally and around the world. That's amazing. That's amazing. But if every person started giving, we could help send a missionary to every region of the United States and around the world with the hope of the gospel. Every single Sunday, we have about 100 kids from pre-K to fifth grade in Erie First Kids Ministry. It's an incredible team of volunteers who love on these kids, and they wipe their faces and they tie their shoes and they tell them about the love of God, their Father. But what is possible if more loving adults serve these kids? What's possible? We could provide care for kids with special needs that can't just go into the regular room. You know, we have some like that, and we don't have helpers that can help with that. And so we have parents that can't come to church because we can't help their kids. We could provide care for kids. We could open up more classrooms. We could do more things midweek. We could help this generation understand the gospel. But you know what we need? We need more people to engage. We need more people to use what God has put inside of them to help the body of Christ. Listen, every week people need prayer. Every week people need a ride to church. Every week people need help running to the grocery store, moving out of their apartment. Moms need encouraged and lonely people need visited and middle school students need to hear about the gospel. And what could happen if all the members of the body were awake? What could happen? What could happen if we all said, we're gonna get in this thing. Listen, your presence matters. Your presence matters to the heart of God. Your presence matters to me and to Joel. Your presence matters to our staff team. You're part of a family, and families work together. Families work together. So are you in? Are you ready to be part of something bigger? You are invaluable. Are you in to work as a community of people, as the church, and not just as a Christian all on your own? Would you stand? We're gonna sing this song together as we close today. It just says these simple words, I choose to worship you. If you want to, I wanna invite you to the altar just to sing the song and to declare it so that together as a community we can worship. Would you come if you wanna come? Let's just sing this together all across this room. Lord, we choose to worship you in the hills and in the valleys. We choose it, God. We choose it and we choose it together.
To bow, though there's pain and the suffering, I lay it down here in the conflict when doubts surround. Though my soul is unraveling, I choose you now, and I will praise you through the fire, through the storm, and through the blood.
of the church. We thank you, Lord, that you gave us each other. We pray that we would encourage one another, that you would stir up the gifts, Lord, that we would just get into these moments and places where we can give back to you. You're so good to us. So, Lord, we trust you today, and we love you. And it's in your strong name I pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Erie First Podcast. We'd love it if you'd give us a rating and a review on your podcast app, and please subscribe so you never miss a message. You can follow Erie First on Facebook or Instagram, or visit eriefirst.org for all our latest news, announcements, and information. Thanks again for joining us. We'll see you next time.